Please open your Bibles now to Romans chapter 8. We'll be looking this morning at verses 26 and 27 of this chapter. Last time we focused on the expectation of creation for redemption at the consummation of all things, when Christ returns. We're moving on now to speak of another aspect of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I'll talk more about that in just a few moments. Please give attention as I read from God's holy word, Romans 8, 26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. May God add His blessing to the reading of His holy word. How is your prayer life this morning? Do you find that your prayer times are refreshing and vital? Or do you find that they are listless and dull? Probably, if you're honest, you have a mix of those experiences as you approach the throne of grace in prayer. But prayer is a wonderful means of grace that God has provided for us to communicate our desires to Him, our needs to Him. And not only that, but He has ordained that through our supplication, He answers and accomplishes His purposes and acts on behalf of us as we petition Him through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thankfully, well, one thing that we have to realize as we go to the Lord in prayer is that it is a spiritual discipline. It takes exertion. It takes work to pray. It's not something that happens automatically. And thankfully, God has provided help for us in our praying. We do not just pray in our own strength, but God has supplied us with help in that ministry of prayer. Well, in our last study, we looked at the glorious hope which believers have. That certain truth of final redemption, both for creation and for our bodies. The redemption of all creation and the redemption of the bodies of believers through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's through that hope that we are given encouragement to persevere and to endure in the midst of the difficulties and the trials that we experienced in this fallen world. But that is not our only help. It's not just the focus on that certain redemptive truth, the certainty that we will be redeemed with creation fully on that day when Christ returns in glory. But this whole chapter has been emphasizing something else: the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who is a helper to believers. Think of all the ways mentioned so far in Romans chapter 8 that the Holy Spirit is active as a helper in the lives of Christians. Going back to verses 2 through 8, we see that it's the Holy Spirit who helps us to obey the law, to keep God's commands. In verses 9 to 13, we see that He subdues our fallen nature. It's by the Spirit that we are enabled to serve the living God, and that hostility is broken so that we love God and desire to please Him. We see also in verses 14 to 17 that it's the Spirit who assures us of our adoption into God's family, that we are sons and daughters of the living God. And in verses 18 to 25, He is the first fruits. He's the pledge of that eternal inheritance that is promised to us in Christ. Now here in verses 26 and 27, we see that it's the Holy Spirit who is our helper in prayer. And so this morning we will look at this great provision that the Lord has made for us in prayer, the Holy Spirit. And remember that Paul is continuing the theme of the assurances that we have as believers in Christ as he works through chapter 8 here. So notice two things as we think about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in prayer, as we think about this subject of prayer. First of all, one thing that comes out clearly in this small text is that believers need help in prayer. We are weak. And you don't have to hear that from me. You know that. You experience that. Paul speaks of that weakness in verse 26. And by that expression of weakness, he's not referring specifically to sin, although sin certainly can become an obstacle in our prayer to God. But here he is speaking about our lack of strength. It's a word literally that refers to a bodily ailment, such as a sickness or an infirmity. In a figurative sense, it can mean weakness of character. It can refer to a lack of insight, or to timidity, or to a sense of inadequacy. All of these concepts are wrapped up in the idea of this weakness that he's speaking of. Though the Holy Spirit helps our weakness in general, here the focus is on help for our weakness in prayer. So we're talking about this ministry of prayer to which we are called and this privilege we are given. I'm sure that you can relate to these struggles in your own prayer life with weakness. Weakness shows up in our own weariness, just being physically weary. We may struggle with disciplining ourselves to pray regularly, consistency in prayer. We may struggle with distractions in prayer. We may even find ourselves falling asleep in prayer, like the disciples did in the garden as Jesus exhorted them to watch and pray. Yet they fell asleep. Certainly we wrestle with feelings of inadequacy and discouragement in our praying. We may struggle with weak faith in prayer. Worry or fear may crowd into our prayer life. Fear that God somehow has rejected us may creep into our thoughts. The psalmist expressed that even in Psalm 77, verse 7, when he says, "Will the Lord reject forever? And will he never be favorable again?" He was wrestling in his prayer with weakness. So we wrestle with a multitude of weaknesses. We are weak. And we also lack understanding in prayer. Verse 26 says, "We do not know how to pray as we should." So there's weakness, there's a lack of understanding. Even if our hearts are sincerely seeking the Lord, even if we're praying with pure motives, we don't know the will of God. We may understand in some measure His revealed will. We call that His preceptive will, which is unfolded for us in the Scriptures. We know His commands as they're outlined for us. However, we don't know His sovereign or decretive will. It's hidden from us. And so sometimes we lack understanding. We don't know how to pray as we should. Proverbs 27:1 says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth." And in Romans 11:34, we have that wonderful doxology which says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become His counselor?" We certainly don't go to prayer presuming that we know the mind of the Lord, that we have perfect understanding as we petition God before His throne. We often lack understanding as to how we should pray for ourselves and for others. And these challenges are not unique to new Christians. We shouldn't think that it's only new Christians that are weak and lack understanding. Paul uses the pronoun here, "our" and "we." And so he's including himself as he expresses the deficiency of believers in prayer. We can think of other examples of biblical characters who struggled in prayer. Job, for example, is one. The Lord said of Job in Job 1:8, "For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God, turning away from evil." He was a mature follower of God, walking in the ways of the Lord. And yet Job himself asks in the midst of his affliction, "What have I done to you, O watcher of men? Why have you set me as your target, so that I am a burden to myself? Why then do you not pardon my transgression and take my iniquity?" He was struggling with weakness. He was struggling with a lack of understanding, even as a mature follower of God. Paul also struggled with ignorance as he prayed. In 2 Corinthians 12, 7-9, we read, "There was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And he has said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness.'" See, it was only after Paul prayed three times for relief from that thorn in the flesh that the Lord came to him in some way and made him realize that he was to bear that thorn, that the thorn was a means to keep him humble as a servant of the living God. But he lacked understanding as he sought the Lord in prayer, bearing that thorn of the flesh. So new and mature believers alike face these struggles with regard to prayer. We are weak. We are ignorant. But God has not left His children alone without help. And that brings us to the second point as we look at this passage together. God has graciously provided help for us in prayer. We should be comforted to know that we actually are provided with two intercessors. Two divine intercessors. One is not mentioned specifically in this passage, but you know that the Lord Jesus Christ is our intercessor. We see that later in this chapter, in verse 34, Romans 8:34. Christ Jesus is He who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. And so we have the intercession of our Lord Jesus Christ, our mediator, the great high priest at the right hand of the Father. We're not going to take time to consider His ministry this morning. But the other divine intercessor is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, whom God has given to dwell in the hearts of believers. Jesus promised His disciples in John 14:16-17, "I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Helper, that He may be with you forever. That is, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see Him or know Him. But you know Him because He abides with you and will be in you." The gift of the Holy Spirit is a means by which we are helped in prayer. And so ultimately the whole Trinity is involved in prayer. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We have free and confident access to our Heavenly Father through the mediation of our Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are enabled in our prayer by the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in the hearts of believers. All three are helping us, if you will, ministering to us in prayer. But how does the Spirit help us in prayer? Well, first of all, the Holy Spirit helps our weakness, which we talked about earlier. The Greek word for help is a large compound word, which literally means to grasp hold of with someone. And it pictures someone bearing a heavy load with the help of a friend. Now, we experienced that as a congregation recently, when the Dennises moved from Gardner up to Shawnee, just over here on 71st Street. Could you imagine Kevin moving every item of their house all by himself? That would have been a huge load, a great burden. But many members of the congregation came along and grabbed hold of that load with him, so to speak. And so that all of those items were moved from one household to the other. And so that's how the Holy Spirit ministers in our lives. He's a strong helper who comes alongside to grab hold of with us this burden that we have, our weakness, as we are weak in our prayer. It's the role of the Holy Spirit. Now, He doesn't do it for us. He doesn't remove the burden altogether. But He helps our weakness. He helps us in bearing it. Matthew Henry points out that as a sanctifying spirit, He works and excites praying graces. Where we're cold and where we're listless, it's the Spirit who stirs our hearts up to pray. And as a comforting spirit, He silences our fears and helps us over all our discouragements, where we doubt and fear. He comes alongside and impresses the precious promises of God upon our hearts. When we are weary physically and listless spiritually, it's the Holy Spirit who urges us on in prayer. When we are despairing in trial or fearful that God perhaps has rejected us, He comes alongside us and He reminds us that nothing will separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. It's the all-powerful Holy Spirit who helps us bear our burdens as we labor in prayer. But He doesn't only help hold that load. Secondly, we see that the Holy Spirit actually intercedes for us. He intercedes for us. There are a couple of words for intercede that are used here in these verses, and they mean to plead for one another. It's the Holy Spirit who pleads our case before the Father. The Holy Spirit serves as our advocate before the Father. He appeals to God on our behalf. We are not left on our own to approach the sovereign Lord of the universe. Can you imagine coming before God in prayer completely alone? We would be consumed. Certainly we have the mediation of Jesus Christ, but we have the help of the Holy Spirit to appeal on our behalf. Our Heavenly Father has provided us with bold and confident access through Jesus Christ and the intercession of the Holy Spirit. And He intercedes with groanings too deep for words, we read. Now, if you're following through our study here in chapter 8, you'll notice that that word groaning is not new to this passage this morning. It actually occurs two other times previously. In verse 22, we see the whole creation groans in anticipation of its final redemption. In verse 23, we see that the children of God groan as they await the redemption of their bodies. And here, it's the Holy Spirit who is groaning as He intercedes for us. Well, what does this mean? Well, first of all, there's something that we need to clarify. That this groaning intercessory ministry of the Holy Spirit does not refer to a Christian praying in a special prayer language. This is not a reference to tongues being used in petitioning God in prayer. Far from it. There is no reference to tongues or the word for tongues here in this passage. And in fact, the emphasis is on the prayer or the intercession of the Holy Spirit in this passage. Then also we should recognize that this groaning of the Holy Spirit does not mean that the Holy Spirit is seeking some kind of final perfection, like the creation and like the bodies of believers as we look forward to that glorious day. We know that the Holy Spirit is one person of the Trinity. He is God and He is perfect as God. But what's going on here is that He is identifying with our groans. And He shares in longing for freedom and redemption. The freedom and redemption of creation and of the bodies and souls of believers. It shows Him coming alongside. It shows the urgency and the intensity with which He intercedes on behalf of God's people. See, at times we may be at a loss for words in our prayer. We can't express the longings of our heart. But the Holy Spirit comes alongside of us. And He offers up to the Father, fervent pleadings on our behalf, with groanings too deep for words. It's not unintelligible, it's understandable, and yet it shows the intensity of His appeal, of His petition to the Father on behalf of believers. One commentator writes, "The Spirit, who is intimate with the plans of God for our glory, and who distinctly beholds the ideal of which we have but glimpses, pursues its realization with ardor." And so that word groaning is just reflecting that ardor, that intensity with which the Spirit intercedes on our behalf. So He intercedes for us. And then thirdly, we see that the Holy Spirit intercedes according to God's will. According to God's will. How can we be sure that our Father gets the message when we pray to Him? Well, Paul reminds us here that the Father searches the hearts. He knows you. God is all-knowing. Psalm 139, verse 1, "O Lord, You have searched me and known me." In Acts 1:24, we read, "You, Lord, know the hearts of men." God knows us. He is infinite in His knowledge. And God's omniscience is really a fearful thing. If you're not in a right relationship with the living God, or if you're coming as a hypocrite in pretense, covering up true motivations as you pray to the Lord, that's not a very comfortable position to be in. Your heart is laid bare before Him with whom we have to do. Everything is fully known to Him. And if you're in rebellion against God, the first thing that needs to happen is you need to be reconciled to God. You need to seek His mercy and His forgiveness through Jesus Christ. And then as a redeemed child of God, what a comfort it is to know that God knows you. That He knows us even as we come before Him in prayer and as we struggle with knowing how to pray rightly for the matters that are before us. For those whose heart has been transformed by His grace, for the one who yearns to know God and to be conformed to His likeness, it's a tremendous comfort to know that God knows us. He knows our longings. He knows what's best for us. He knows what the mind of the Spirit is, who indwells us and who intercedes for us. We don't have to worry about our prayers getting through. We don't have to pray eloquent, flowery prayers in order to be heard, because God knows our hearts. He understands our desires. He knows what the mind of the Spirit is. And so we can come and pray simply, expressing those desires to Him, knowing that He knows and that He hears the ministry of the Spirit on our behalf. Furthermore, the Holy Spirit pleads our case to God according to His will. Remember, in our ignorance, we don't know always what is best for ourselves. Just like children, as they ask their parents for things, they may ask for things that are actually harmful to them. And we at times may ask God for things that are harmful to us. The influence of remaining sin in our lives may lead to sinful desires that may influence our petitions before God. And we may actually pray contrary to God's will. But the Holy Spirit helps us here. He knows the will of God. And He communicates petitions to God on our behalf for things that are agreeable to the will of the Father. And He also works in our hearts in such a way that He might stir up the desires, the right desires in our hearts, that are in agreement with what God has revealed to us in the Scriptures, that are in agreement with His purposes for us. Matthew Henry again says, "As an enlightening spirit, He teaches us what to pray for." He teaches us how to pray in accordance with the revealed Word of God in the Scriptures. He leads us to seek those things that are pleasing in God's sight. And so we can pray with confidence, not recklessly, not carelessly, but with the humble assurance that we are heard and that our prayers will be answered. 1 John 5:14 is a wonderful prayer promise in this regard. It says, "This is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we will have the requests which we have asked from Him. Well, how is your prayer life? These verses give us great encouragement in prayer. Yes, we are weak. Yes, we struggle with a lack of understanding. But as a child of God, we have a helper, the Holy Spirit. John Murray writes that it is not our infirmity of understanding and request that is the measure of God's grace. Isn't that wonderful? It's not our level of understanding and request that is the measure of God's grace, but the knowledge, wisdom, and love of the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 3:20, Paul gives these wonderful words of praise to God, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. What is that power? The Holy Spirit, who lives in the hearts of believers. And as we pray by the power of the Holy Spirit through our Lord Jesus Christ to the Father, we know that God is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. So let me encourage you, brothers and sisters in Christ, to persevere in prayer, particularly as we part ways for a time this summer. Persevere in prayer. Pray with confidence, knowing that you are not without help, knowing that your petitions are being heard in the very throne room of God in heaven. As we read earlier in 1 Chronicles 16, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. And as you do that through Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit, you can be confident that He hears and that He will answer in accordance with His will. Let's bow in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank You for this wonderful means of grace, that You allow Your creatures to communicate with You, the Creator, that You have bridged that great chasm of separation which is due to our sin. And so You have made peace with those who were enemies with You through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And in Him, Father, You have made us sons and daughters. And we can come and call upon You with confidence. Lord, help us to grow in our faith, in prayer, to grow in our diligence in exercising this wonderful means of grace. And Father, work powerfully through the petitions of Your people for the advancement of Your kingdom and the glory of Your name. Strengthen us, Lord, where we are struggling with doubt. Stir our hearts with renewed fervor where we are complacent and negligent. Lord, forgive us and renew us, Lord, in the use of this wonderful tool, this divine weapon that You have supplied. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.